Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Spanish Aquí Presents and a very special part two of our 100th episode special. The whole crew's in the house. You have Raisa, Oscar, Tony, and myself, Carlos. And you just listened to some of the best stuffs that happened over the last, I don't know how many years. This is something that started back in August of 2018, right, guys?
Yeah.
That was our first recording of our pilot.
And we've just had so much fun recording and doing this together, and now you guys got to hear a little bit of that. It's good to remember. It's good to remember, isn't it?
It is. Our best stuffs indeed. We were doing some maths earlier, and we're trying to figure out what percentage of in-studio recordings we did versus, you know, pandemic Zooms. And Carlos, you're saying it was like about half and half?
It's almost 50%, yes.
That's wild.
So we recorded more episodes 40% in the pandemic than we have in the studio, correct?
Yes, it's about 40-70, I would say. Is that the right math?
40-70?
You know what? I think, you know what? Stay pretty, Carlos. Stay pretty.
Yeah.
I never said I was good at math.
I get it.
It's 40-90 for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, how do y'all feel like changed after the first episode? I mean, like, I think the show has changed so much since our very first episode. I mean, right off the bat, our format has changed, you know? The way we do the podcast is very, very different. But do you guys feel transformed in recording Spanish Aquí Presents in any way?
I mean, I guess I would say, I think in the beginning for me, since I never had my own podcast, like, at all. Like, I know, like, all three of you have had other podcasts with other people where you were hosting. So I think I felt like very much like the rookie. Still am the rookie, but I felt more like I had to like prepare myself, I think, a little bit more for like the picas and the interviews, which I still do now. But I feel like I've interviewed so many people within like the podcast and the live show now that it just flows out of me. So I don't know. I mean, obviously we do improv, which is easy for us to like do that and have a conversation with people. But I would say like, I used to like have questions written down and ready to go. But now I like kind of just like, I already know them in my head and I'm ready, which kind of feels like cool. Cause I'm like, okay, cool. Like I saw the like advancement in myself at least.
I already thought when we started, I was already so impressed with you, Raisa, your skills. But even, like, I have to say, and even in the past year, I feel like you've flourished, honestly. Like, what you just said, I totally have seen it happen. And I applaud you, and I'm impressed.
Well, it started in the live show. Like, we started seeing the transition into taking over the... Because that's such a crucial part when we were doing the live shows, was to get... The interview was important because if, you know, whenever we didn't... We had a tough interview. It also made it hard for us to have a good improv set.
And I
feel like you really took that and you rose to the occasion and you made it an actual fun part of just not just making an interview. So that was fun too.
Yeah. When you say rookie, my response is que rookie. Que rookie. You mean reina. That's what you mean to say.
Yeah.
Because I'll say this. You're the organizer of Spanish Aquí Presents. I'll stand by this, but without you, I don't know what we would not be making it to 100 episodes. Okay.
No.
And you've always held down the fort and you've always been really good about showcasing the talent, you know what I mean? Showcasing the guests, making the guests feel good. For me, that's a brand new experience. I've never, ever, ever done that in my life. So
Oscar
I learned
never likes to make
you.
People feel comfortable.
I don't like people in my house.
Yeah,
I don't want people in my house. I don't like talking to me. No, I'm kidding. But but no, I mean, like watching you do your thing and what you're just naturally really good at has helped me be get better at asking the right questions, socializing, transitioning, like that kind of stuff. I've learned how to sharpen, and I think I've gotten really good at that with this crew.
Yeah. Thank you guys. Mm-hmm. That's very nice.
It's true.
I mean, I feel like we've all definitely grown, not just me, but like, again, I think like everybody, especially even like we, like a lot of us weren't like doing a bunch of improv from when we first started, like on like a podcast. Like that was another thing weird for me. I don't know about you guys. Like, I know, like, I know Oscar, you've done it a couple times, and I think Carlos and Tony maybe, but that was like the first time I had done it. And you hadn't? Oh yeah, me neither.
Oh really?
And I was just kind of like, I was like, but I can't get up. I can't, like, and it's so hard, especially like I move my hands. I'm very, very physical on stage. So like doing that and being like, I have to stay seated. We have a person here that, you know, so I think that was kind of a weird thing.
Yeah. But, cause it is, it's in a weird way, a radio play.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of the stuff that you see on stage, you don't have that on a podcast. So it's a lot more presentational, a lot more like, I'm going to say what I'm going to do instead of actually doing it, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was like learning that and strengthening that muscle. And I think we did a pretty good job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, there was a transition in the show. I was going to say that the most of the transition was because of the pandemic. It meant that not only we had to switch to Zoom, but we also had to get used to Zoom, which was so different. And it made, I feel like that's what's made it different, because we're so used to being in person. Rekindling that energy in that way also, I think, was a learning curve for me, at least.
Yeah.
I felt like there was a transition.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I was gonna ask you guys, were there any guests that you were nervous for ever?
I was thinking about this. Is, I can't believe I'm saying this first. The guests I was nervous for were the guests that I already knew personally, because I felt like I wanted to do right by them, you know, like, and celebrate them in the time.
That's
the
version of being nervous. Like you were nervous for them. You're nervous to make sure that everything went right. Like then we'll buy it.
Yeah. That's what I would say. Do you want me to name drop now? No, I'm not going to. Yes.
Anybody else?
I think inversely, I was nervous for the people I didn't know at all. You know, people that were on the periphery of my radar and like, didn't know who I was and like trying to like ease into that whole conversation. Especially like when some of y'all knew who they were and I was just like, not, I didn't know who they were. Because I was like, I was just scared of like not contributing enough to the interview portion of the podcast. But yeah. And also, you know, I get a little nervous too, especially when I meet new people, you know. I get very shy around new people. So like, you know, that didn't help recording a podcast.
Oscar, you said that. And I remember the screenshot that I showed you that my boyfriend sent me. Cause Alejandro, my boyfriend, was asking me, he was like, oh, like, what about like when you don't know like anything or whatever? And I'm like, I don't know. Oscar's like, I feel like Oscar's so good at that. Like we'll have like an athlete and he like has just like, he knows exactly, like he knows what to say, whatever. I just said it in passing. And then he listened to one of our episodes with somebody like in like one, I think it was Jason Concepcion. And he was just like, Oscar had really great commentary. Like it like just made everything flow so well.
Well, you know,
like you would have never known that he had no idea about some of the stuff. It's so nice to hear that from someone. Again, he doesn't really listen to the podcast. So the fact that he listened to that and like pulled that out, I thought that was cool. Like,
yes,
but that's a good spot to an improv that he does very well. So he's just applying that to interviews, which is a great gift.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to me that the thing that I have realized from doing this podcast is because, like, you know, I have had my, I think I've mentioned this in like a long ass time ago, but I've had a lot of sort of like trepidation about my Latinx identity, especially like with my Latino identity and like my immigrant identity as well. I don't know, like I've lived my entire life in between these two worlds, and I felt so not American enough because I wasn't born here, and you know, I'm not really American, but I definitely also didn't feel myself like Latinx enough too, because I was born in a different country. I did come here later, but like my grasp of Spanish is probably the weakest of all of y'all. So to me, I just didn't feel very comfortable with the language stuff. So like there was a lot walking into just the SAP of being like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm the weak link here. Like I don't feel like I'm like really contributing a lot to like, I don't know, the Latinx movement or whatever. But the thing that has like completely changed everything around for me was that very, very first episode about what it means to be Latinx. And I was really candid about what it means to me and why Latinx is the identity that I choose, you know? Mm-hmm. And the response from people continues to be so overwhelmingly positive. And like that idea of like, you don't have to like be like the best Latinx superhero of all time. You don't have to be like, you don't have to know how to like, I don't know, like speak perfect Spanish or like know everything about Latinx culture. Your identity is enough. And mm-hmm. like just hearing You're stories enough. From people reaching out to me and being like, I felt the same way. It's like that never grows old. And it is so healing for me to hear too, that like, I don't know, that like weird thing of like, oh, am I enough? You know?
Yeah.
And the answer is of course you are, but hearing other people share that same story with you is like incredibly powerful.
Well, incredibly I appreciate powerful. That that's always kind of been our mission statement, right? From the beginning.
Yeah.
From when Reza famously went to pitch it and I stood by as
Carlitos sat there looking pretty.
I was like making sure that everything was right because she was coming in, you know, guns blazing.
I came in hot. The Miami Cubana se me salió. That's how you know. Es like, que así, es que that's when you know I'm pissed. Cuando me sale el acento and I get real Miami on you. Yeah, the sabuesera me sale.
I know.
But I think we were really, very clear and I'm just happy that it has been after all. You know, it's good. What's good about looking back is to know like, wow, we really felt this way about the movement, about the importance of our culture and how it's actually played out. Like we've seen it with the live show and we've seen how people react. And just by what Oscar's saying, the way people have reacted to it is proof enough that we've kind of, you know, we stuck to our guns when it came to doing
and,
this.
And not just Latinx people. I mean, I know that there's a bunch of white people that listen to our podcast and like the feedback has been incredible too, that it's not just Latinx podcast for Latinx people, which is like what I think that's pretty much our goal. Our motto is that it's like for us, by us. But the fact that like other people from all kinds of ethnicities absorb it and digest it and share similarities. I mean, that's magical. That's so great.
Mm-hmm.
For us, by us, FUBU. No longer.
Well, that, I mean, RIP,
right.
But
right?
That's what it was.
<It's gone.
laughs> Yeah, I mean, to answer my own question, I will say I was nervous for Pitbull because I didn't say it earlier. Oh my God. Sorry.
This is all really just an excuse to talk about Pitbull, and here we are.
Yes.
No, but I was.
I mean, y'all handled that so amazing.
Yeah, that was all last minute,
and he was
too.
Incredible. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, that was all last minute.
Yeah, that was like we had a day to barely prep for it. And like I was like making calls and doing emails and just like figuring it out. And I was nervous. Like, I mean, again, that's the only one that I set up a pretty background.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's the best looking set but background that I've ever seen Ryza put together. Just so well lit. And my thoughts so I guess it's possible. The right circumstances.
Ryza's setup was definitely
She had like
HD
streamers.
Sure.
There was like, I don't know, did you paint the wall? I don't even know.
It's my lavender backdrop for my self tapes. But I have a sign in my room that says, ay coño. I have a sign in my room
that says
like, me too.
No, because I hit my mic.
It's my morning mantra.
It says 305 till I die.
So like Iconia.
Darling Destruction's on Etsy. Check them out. I was definitely nervous for them. But I don't, like, cause I think back to our live shows, and it's weird because like I never really got nervous doing the interviews. It's so weird because I feel like that would be the part that I should get the most nervous of. Mm-hmm. But like, I got this tip once from someone that I heard on I don't know who it was or something. And they were like, you just like flirt with your guests, but not like creepy. You know what I mean? They're like, you're talking. It's like, you know, you're flirting with them. You want them to feel good. What? And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then I feel like that's kind of like what I've always used in the background.
You make them feel comfortable, you know?
Yeah. I make them feel seen. And
And that's why
Who are you dating?
Everybody we've interviewed. I'm dating all of them. All our guests. Okay. I've dated all of them.
It's always been very confusing at the end of it. Because you're like,
there
was something, right? There was something.
Yeah. We exchange LinkedIn numbers, emails,
LinkedIn numbers.
That's a specific thing. Yeah.
That's very private.
That's a real thing. Wow. Holy crap.
Sharing location with all our guests. Yeah.
What guests are you going to be nervous for in the future? dream guest? I mean, we all want Gloria.
We all know my top three. Can you guys guess my top three that I would be nervous for?
Bad Bunny, okay. Jennifer Lopez. J-Lo.
Uh-huh.
And Drake.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I was going to say.
No. I know
Mr. Curry.
I know Reza too well.
But I was going to say, but I would throw in LeBron James.
Honorable mention, LeBron James. Well, let's see if we can get him for, you know, when New Space Jam comes out.
Yeah. Look, I'll start working on that.
Oh my God.
Coño.
And get Lola Bunny while we're at it.
Yeah. I'll dress up as her. What about you guys? Are there any dream guests that you would want?
And Rita Moreno.
Okay.
I mean, what? Yeah.
No, yeah.
We've had his father, Lin-Manuel, mm-hmm. Gloria Estefan.
What about Carlitos? I feel like you've never talked about a dream guest.
No, I don't really. It sounds weird. I don't really.
You're
I
so guess moment it would by be moment. Like.
It would be, but it would probably be something like Will Smith or something like that.
Well, because I was going to say, to be fair, you've already interviewed a lot of people even before we knew each other.
Yeah, and it comes out so shitty. It was like, guys, I don't have a dream guest because I've already talked to him. But
maybe there's someone new that has come out.
That come out.
Like well, Oscar there's got to be an Will actor. Smith.
Do you want us to make that happen for you?
What? Which one? What did you say?
Tony said that. We are very close to Will Smith because we have worked with Will Smith.
That's right. You did the thing where you were...
The Aladdin.
The Aladdin.
We were in Aladdin.
Yeah, we were in Aladdin.
Wasn't it the Aladdin James Corden thing? No?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yes. The Aladdin James Corden thing.
I remember.
Not Aladdin. No, I mean thing. We were not in the movie.
I know what I'm talking about.
We were in the street. You're
looking at me like I'm crazy.
No.
So I think
it would be people from the past that I never got, you know, that are probably more like that, like Will Smith, Jim Carrey, Dave Chappelle.
Jim Carrey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Add him to mine too. And I'm just going to
Hank Azaria.
Hank Azaria.
What about you, Oscar?
That's going to be an interesting conversation with Tony and Hank.
That would be a great conversation to have.
You can have a Julio.
I would love to have. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And an Agador Spartacus off.
Yeah.
That's the character in the birdcage.
For me,
okay.
You know, I still say, I mean, my dream guest is, of course, Shakira would be like number one for me because Colombiana mixed. Colombiana is like, that's goals right there. Also someone like, John Leguizamo would be so fantastic. Yeah. He's my hero. He truly is my hero. He's like so politically vocal now too. And he's been able to make some of the most unbelievable one man shows. And it's something that I would love to pick his brain about. Like just like, how?
He'd have to be a whole episode.
Oh my
like,
God.
We can't,
yeah.
we
yeah.
could,
he,
I like, could not do, I mean,
he changed the face of comedy.
He
I
really
think,
did.
You know, especially like when, you know, for me, like desperately looking for someone who looked remotely like me, John Leguizamo was around and doing stuff that like, oh my gosh, that was no one else is doing it. Mm-hmm. And also for me too, I would love to add Wilson Cruz in there just because Ricky from My So-Called Life is
I've seen him around.
I'll work on that one.
Yeah.
I feel like I see him around, like, just like in the grocery store or just like out. I feel like I've seen him more than once.
Oh, in the grocery store. Well, then, Carlitos, you work on that one. You're bumping into him at the grocery store.
Hey, he's by the produce. Let's get him.
Raisa, hurry up. Get over here. Bring the computer.
Raisa, Sally Field goes to our grocery store near us sometimes.
¿Quién es Sally Field?
¿Cómo que quién es Sally Field, Raisa?
¿Qué?
Oh, I was thinking Sally Jesse Raphael, right?
Okay.
That's the
okay. Yeah. One of them has two Oscars.
And the other one, you like me?
No,
really
I know
like
her.
Me.
I like her. Yeah, but I'm going to be really honest. I wouldn't be able to tell who she was if she had a mask on ever.
Wow.
I don't think a lot of people could tell who the people are with a mask on.
No, people know who I am.
Yeah.
People know who I am with a mascot.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. This the fame monster has gotten Ryza.
Okay, Ryza.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just fucking with Tony. I'm just fucking with Tony. No, I know exactly who she is. Yes. Okay. Sorry. You guys know I'm bad with these names. I'm that person that like remembers someone because of their character name and it's bad. Like I know that actors hate that shit, but
like, oh hard. Hey Miranda Priestly. I did it. I brought Meryl Streep in.
I was going to say, I was like, when is Tony?
When is Tony bring up the Devil Wears
Meryl
Prada?
Meryl Streep, yeah.
On the second part of our 100th episode.
Yeah. Okay. Before we go, I want to know, what is the most random place that you recorded a podcast episode?
My living room. Isn't that wild?
So you did all yours in your living room?
Yeah. Living
okay.
Room.
Me and Carlitos have traveled, so we might have different
hotel things. Rooms. Is the
hotel room?
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Yeah. I mean, I did mine in an Airbnb next to my sister's house.
Okay.
I'm like, and I did one in. I've done them all in every room of my boyfriend's house.
We're still talking about the podcast.
We're not talking about sex, you cochinos.
Oh my God.
All of you. I want everybody listening that
in
all
the
boys just put
on top
their,
of the counter.
No, coño. No.
Wow.
I recorded
on the floor under the table.
No, they put their hands on their head.
This is like
que
sex
pena.
Clue. What the
it's
hell?
It's not sex clue. I did it
in the basement. With a dildo.
I recorded. I really have. I recorded in I think in every room there. I've recorded in almost every room.
So I think this is you. You've been the most mobile.
Yeah, I've been
most,
hoeing it up with
active.
The mic.
Yeah, so to speak. Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Honestly, here's what I'll say too. Like, it's been such a wild journey to get to know you guys even more, which is weird because we've known each other for so freaking long, and yet I've discovered things about each and every one of you the more we record. It's so wild, and doing these speak us is like such a joy for me because I get to find little facets of all y'all's personality. You keep surprising me, and I hope I can still be surprised even in the 200th episode. And yes, I am manifesting that into the universe.
There it is.
We will do a 200th episode. I love you guys so. I hope you guys know that. I love you so much. And I don't love a lot of people because I'm a big old grump. But I love y'all dearly. Y'all are my familia. Straight up.
Oscar.
The thing about being grumpy is that when you do say that, it does mean so much more. So it means a lot.
It does mean a lot. And I hope we can revisit this moment on our 200th episode, which we will have as a TV special because we'll have our series.
Oh,
sure. I'm going to manifest that.
Mira. And I love you guys too. And I can't fucking wait to get on stage and do improv and do shows and touch your bodies and faces and hug you and love you.
And flirt with our guests and get our LinkedIn number.
But before all that happens, how about we take a little cafecito break?
Eso. Oh, can we do a little
special guest? Because we got
ching,
a special
ching.
Guest.
Oh, yes, a little ching ching.
A what?
Ching ching. Like when you cheers.
Toast. Cheers.
Oh, a toast.
When you toast on Zoom is ching ching and you put it.
It works in Miami.
She wants to toast. Mira, she wants to toast.
Okay, fine. Nobody wants to turn up at 3:36
on a
Thursday.
Clink it.
Fine.
Clink, clink.
Okay, clink, y'all. Clink. I'm pouring these cafecitos in a champagne glass and I'm handing them to each and every one of you.
Viste.
And who would like to make a toast?
Tony.
To our 200 episode and the TV show.
Yes. I expect nothing. Nothing.
May Ryza keep recording in all of the rooms.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, here we go. Pa'arriba.
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 Pa'abajo.
Pa'centro.
Y pa'adentro.
Que viva el paseo.
We'll be right back with Maria Hinojosa.
Dale.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
If you have kids or pets, you know stains and odors in your carpet and upholstery are inevitable. But the experts at ChemDry can help. ChemDry removes odors and stubborn stains by sending millions of carbonating bubbles deep within your carpet. ChemDry lifts dirt, urine, and stains to the surface to then be extracted away, giving you a cleaner and healthier home. Call 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com to connect with your local ChemDry and learn about special offers in your area. That's 1-800-CHEMDRY or visit ChemDry.com today.
And we're back. Slurpity, slurp, slurp, slurp. Guys, there's obviously, this is a special episode. It's a milestone episode. And because it's such a milestone episode, we have to go with a guest that's essentially a living legend. We're kind of super honored to have her here. She has done it all. I mean, anything from NPR to books to journalism, this special guest has done it all and done it perfectly. Right now, she has a new book coming out called Once I Was You, A Memoir of Love and Hate in a Torn America. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Maria Hinojosa in the house. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with all of you.
Yeah. Forgot to mention that I was nervous. I'm like, this is
I don't want to
know. This is like,
this is big. This is in context. You're like, Carlos, intro. I'm like, what? I don't want to mess up the introduction.
Let me write it down. I'm just kidding.
You know, I always worry about people being like, oh my God, she's like an icon. Oh, she's won so many awards. And I'm like, stop, please. You know, I never want to be like perceived to be like, oh, she's, because I'm serious. I mean, the title of my book, Once I Was You, like the message is always like, we are each other. Like we can do this. Like I've been where you've been, like échale ganas, like not, you know, no te agüites. So I always get worried when people are like, I'm so nervous. Cause I'm like, really? I'm like, especially now during the pandemic when we're not in our studios. I mean, I'm at home. I'm in my calcetines. So nice.
I would have gotten that spiel before. It would have been a much more comfortable introduction. But I guess hindsight is 2020.
Me too, Maria. Well, don't worry. I'm the same as you.
In calcetines, you mean.
Yeah,
yes,
exactly. speaking of, like you said, you know, you won. How you're saying you? I once was you. Once I was you. Sorry. Pero you started podcasting, you know, at a different time than we started podcasting. Can you maybe, you know, give us a little insight on how that was when you started, especially, you know, again, as a Latina woman, because there's now so many more Latinas on podcasts and radio and things like that type of journalism or, you know, things like that. But like when you started, there really wasn't you were breaking this mold like out.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Actually, the first women who I heard on the radio before it was called podcasting, it was actually in Mexico. Las periodistas eran mujeres. And I think that planted a seed. They were not definitely in the United States. Like there were no women, no Latinas, definitely not on the radio, not at all. When I get to Columbia, Barnard College, and I start doing radio in New York City in the 1980s, it was like the Wild West. It was Twitter. It was Instagram. It was, people don't understand that. People are like, radio. And it's like, no, it's que no había. There was nothing. You know, there was television and like reruns.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then there was radio. I mean, there was the newspaper, but you're not interacting with the newspaper. You're not interacting with the television. But with the radio, you were interacting. And so that was that was the experience that allowed me to believe that I had a voice, that maybe I could do this on the radio. And that's where, you know, my career basically is launched, and I become the first Latina hired at NPR, and et cetera, et cetera. I think in terms of podcasting, it's funny because when I launched my company, Futuro Media, in 11 years ago, people were laughing at me. They were like, you're going to do podcasting? You're going to do radio? Yeah. You're going to do audio? Like, nobody listens. Nobody's going to, there's no future there. And as you know now, I mean, podcasting is kind of everything. It's,
yeah.
Sure, we, many of us, you know, love to watch, et cetera, Netflix, television, et cetera, and we can take it anywhere on our iPads. But you don't want to do that 24/7. There are times when you want people talking to you on what is, it used to be the radio, which is now podcasting. You want that vibe. And many shows are starting in podcasting and then ending up on a different medium. So I love it to say it was the Wild West because, you know, people would call in. And so it wasn't Twitter. You actually had to respond to them.
Live.
Were they vetted? Did you try to make sure that they were?
No, get vetted. Nope, you're adorable.
Literally the Wild West.
We were doing college radio. So it was me and me. And then it was me and my friends.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, and then it was like the phone would ring and you had the little lights that would light up. You know, they would light up because we were in a studio, so it wasn't ringing. And then you'd push the little button. You'd be like, hola, nueva canción y demás, WKCR. And they'd be like, óyeme, ustedes hablan el español muy mal. ¿Por qué hablan tan mal el español? And we're like, but we're students and we're trying to learn our Spanish. That's why we're doing it in Spanish. Don't you want to support us? And they'd be like, well, okay, but you all really need to like speak Spanish because it's bad.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It was Twitter.
Yeah, they were exactly. They were replying at you.
It was
you
the comment section.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, in audio form.
Yeah.
You're like, well, thank you for that. Okay, cool.
Yeah, right.
Next caller.
Did you did you guys sign up for Duolingo or what? Then what did that like?
Because
you
know,
no, but you're getting no, but I'm saying though, like I'm kidding, but like you know what I mean? Like it was did that do you feel like that made you want to do it more?
Yes. Well, okay. we were making I hope it's a similar era to what Latinos and Latinas are living now. In the 1980s, we were being hailed as like, you know, the decade of the Hispanic. But the United States government was sending military bombing aid to El Salvador, Nicaragua, to make a war against Nicaragua, and Guatemala and Honduras. So they were bombing us. Literally, we were coming as refugees. The same kind of conversation about, you know, well, we can't stand these refugees. And meanwhile, you know, here in New York City, the South Bronx was on fire on purpose. You know, so it was a very, it was a time of a lot of activism and awareness. And for me as a young Latina in college, I was all about like, well, I am owning my Latina selves, motherfuckers. Like I am showing up and I am not just Mexican. I am here for my Puerto Rican brothers and sisters. I'm here for my Dominican brothers and sisters. I'm here for my Argentinian, Chilean, Colombian, because there were many, many refugees at the time, also from that part of the world. And so it was about solidarity. It was about really defining ourselves. And I really do hope that that's where we are again. I hope that Latinos and Latinas of every generation are doing a reality check on every level. Our homophobia, our anti-Muslim, our anti-Semitism, you know, our anti-blackness, our all of that, right?
Yeah.
But also doing the hard work of, so who are we in this? And that's why it's in part why Once I Was You, the book is making a lot of waves because it talks about this history. It actually gives you context so you can be like, oh, I understand. And that's what we need to do. because we're not going anywhere. You know, we're sticking around. We really are the futuro. We are.
Yeah. How do you see the transition? I mean, from that time to now, in terms of like how we are as a community, because I mean, every decade, every generation, something pops up, something changes, something makes a difference. I'm sure we're not in the same place, but I think it's important to ask because you've been able to see that you've been through those stages, and it's important to know.
Well, you know, you do not have to be white to endorse and support the structures of white supremacy.
Well said. I mean, honestly,
and
wow,
I think
that wasn't around before. We didn't know about that.
And so I think we have witnessed that. I think we, as a community, have to wrap our heads around the fact that there were many, many Latinos and Latinas, our family, our friends, who decided to vote for Donald Trump. So in that sense, it's quite distressing. Because, you know, when you are attacked, you know, it's, you know, that's the whole thing about Black Lives Matter, is that you can't choose to be Black. You are. And then you are attacked. Many Latinos and Latinas, we have a privilege, right? We can attempt to pass. We can live only in our whiteness. We can close the door behind us. And so I think that is where we are right now, where we have to make a very conscious understanding of what our role is in this country. I recently spoke with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and we were talking about Latinidad. And she was like, you know, Latinos and Latinas, we have to do more work at understanding who we are in this country. And I was a little bit like, okay, I'm here for it. Usually I'm like, you know, we are here, we're present, own who you are. And the younger generation happily is saying, yes, but we need to know our history in this country. Mm. Like the Black Lives Matter movement has been teaching, right?
Right.
We need to follow in their footsteps and understand our history and therefore our role. And, you know, if we're not active in democracy in this country, you can kiss it goodbye. So I think we have to recognize that there is a part of us that was like, yeah, yo, Donald Trump, he speaks for me as a Latino or a Latina.
Yeah. And I think it's also important to note that we've talked about this before. It's like it's unfortunate that because we're so fragmented and we've been the colonialistic mindset of like we have to fight for our own identity has forced us to go against each other. And I feel like this is something that we also as, you know, as Spanish Speaking Presents is something that's always been at the forefront of what we try to kind of fight against. And, you know, we see that now, obviously, with the last elections. But it's not, for me, it's like the journey of trying to say, yeah, we're all different and we're not a monolith, but also we got to come together to fight the power, which is what, you know, macro looks at us as one thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
It is about in this country. That's why once I was you, right? It is about seeing ourselves in each other. You know, for me, my founding fathers, well, as a journalist, my founding father is Frederick Douglass. I mean, he's a Black man who was born into slavery. Could not be more different than me, right? I'm a Mexican born in Mexico City. And yet, you know, he is my, okay, the pun, North Star. He, you know, his newspaper was named the North Star. So, but he is my North Star in that sense. Like, why do I do what I do as a Latina immigrant POC woke journalist in this country is really in service of Frederick Douglass. So that's the kind of mindset that we have to have. So that coalition and talking about it. If we don't talk about it, it's not going to happen.
No, definitely. And, you know, speaking of talking about it, something that I really enjoy from your interviews, especially, you know, I've listened to a lot of them. You've interviewed, like you just said, I was going to actually ask you about AOC, about her interviews. You've interviewed people, you know, to like that level of AOC, and also like even like people like poets like Jessica Salgado, who I remember that episode very well because we are friends with her and she's done our show and our podcast, and we're, you know, we love her. How does that work for you when you are thinking about guests to interview? Like, is there something that, you know, to me, I think about it like in your world, I think about it like as like a director or something, like, oh, how do you, you know, you wanted this person in your film. Like, how do you think about that? What inspires you for your interview guests?
So the truth is that some of the most fascinating people who I interview are the ones who no one will ever see or recognize. Mm-hmm. They are the people who are working, serving us. I just find them, their stories. I was today, as I said, well, my daughter is born on Cinco de Mayo. What can I tell you? It's the truth. And so she wants to have a park party. She's 23, yo, but she's like, I want a park party with a piñata because this is, our post-pandemic party. And and so today I was in El Barrio Mexicano in Spanish Harlem, and there were so many stories of people who I just encountered there. La señora que me sirvió los tacos, the person who sold me the piñata. And I'm like, they're the people who I want to sit and talk to because they inspire me with their choice to live and to luchar por la vida in New York, which is not easy. So that's kind of my mentality. But recently, we just actually, one of my producers, Reynaldo Leaños Jr., put out a call on Twitter. He was like, hey, who do you want to hear Maria Hinojosa talk to? Because we're like thinking, like, who, you know, like, yeah, we're, we are. Like, we're kind of like, who? And interestingly, the one who's come up a lot is Biden.
Oh. Fascinating. Wow.
That would be tight.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I've been asking for an interview with Biden for 2 years. So I'm getting a little tired, to be honest with you. And I'm feeling a little bit, what would be the youthful rejected way of saying? I wanted to say he's throwing shade at me, but I don't know. Yeah, completely rejected.
No se preocupe, I get it. I'm the one that does a lot of most, like, the bookings between me and, like, you know, we all throw in some names, but I am the one that does most of the cold call type of style things, and I'm just like, oh, there's, you know, sometimes there are those people, and then people also, they'll do the same thing. They'll, hey, why haven't you had this actress, or why have you? And I'm like, if I could only tell you, I'm like, I've been emailing their rep since, you know, the first season, the first episode, and now we're on 100. And I mean, like, you know,
yeah, like, it's hard. Yeah. I mean, we love to have somebody who is going to have a provocative conversation with me. I mean, to be honest with you, the pandemic has been really hard. We are lucky that we can do this, you know, in our home studios, but there is nothing like an in-person interview. So the last in-person interview that I did before the shutdown was Kat Von D at her house in LA.
Wow.
And that was hot. I gotta tell you, that was just, it was just kind of extraordinary. And now it was AOC. And now that I'm fully vaccinated and kind of getting back to things, I do want to start doing more in-person interviews. And you're right. We are very lucky on Latino USA that, except for someone like Biden, most of the time, well, you know, there's one person I want to speak to. Actually, I might as well just put it out.
Wishlist. Let's hear it.
There's one that people are like, so who do you want? Who?
Yeah, what's the dream? That one dream person.
It's Cardi B to talk politics.
Oh, oh my God. But she would talk. Yes. Oh my God, Maria, please. How do we make this happen?
I'm trying. That's,
I'm like, let me book her for your podcast instead of mine.
And then if you get Cardi B, I'm sure she'll put in a good word to Biden.
Yes.
They've done stuff together.
They're cool. They're peeps. Biden
part
and Cardi.
Of the plan.
Mira que a lo mejor que te invito. We need to get us all in a party. We need Biden, Maria, La Cardi, and everybody.
That. Oh, that the funniest party. Okay.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Be passing a blunt to Joe Biden. Is that it?
Oh, yes. Passing a blunt, and then him, I want to see him, like, you know, bailando una salsita and then, like, twerking to the floor. Like,
well, let me tell you, before I see Joe Biden bailando or doing anything radical, I need him to do something really radical about the issue of immigration.
Let's get to work.
I'm not even ready to have a little party or to be invited to a Cinco de Mayo. Nada de eso no lo quiero. I will take performative politics from Joe Biden at this point if it is him going down to the border and hugging the refugee children that this government is holding in dog cages. So I will take some performative stuff right there. But other than that, no dancing, no singing, no. Right now, I'm sorry to say this, no, Joe Biden is in my doghouse until I get a chance to speak with him. I know that was really good. I think I'm going to have to say that more often.
Yeah. That's what my dad
You put us in Perreras, you're in my doghouse until you speak with me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
In all of our doghouses, for real.
I mean, drop the mic on that. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So other than obviously, like, you know, you deal with a lot of, like, you know, hardcore stuff that's going on in the world. A lot, not only, you know, in your interviews and, you know, in interviews that, you know, you guest on as well and everything else. You also have Twitter where you're super active. You reply, you engage, you know, you post things that, like, other people are thinking and just don't know if they can tweet or how to tweet it as, you know, sometimes as eloquently as you. How has Twitter been for you? Like, the move into Twitter, like, well, no, but because, like, I just feel like it's so hard to sometimes just, like, be good at writing a tweet.
Dude, I find it, I am so fascinated. I'm like, really? You think I'm good at Twitter? I'm like, all right. Because when I first engaged in Twitter, I was like, what the hell is this? I'll never find this. I can't even figure this out. I kind of hate it. You know, look, you want to know how I woke up today? La verdad. I woke up later than usual, which I had a little bit of a later day. So I did spend about, I'm horrified to say, about 10 to 15 minutes blocking people this morning because of all of the hate that I'm getting because I just interviewed AOC and I posted a picture of me with her. And so that to me is like, I'm not even having it because, of course, what happens is that I'll look and I'll be like, you're a bot. You're a bot.
Yeah.
You're a bot. Who knows where you're tweeting at me from? What country where there's a bot bot factory? Yeah. And I'm not having it. So goodbye. Now, I find it interesting that you say that about me and Twitter because I'm not on it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not. I jump in, you know, I'll post something. But you're right. There are moments where I will just have, like, and I don't even think of it as a zinger, but now in hindsight, I'm a little bit like, that was a little bit of a zinger.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing it to, like, do that. It's more just like, I just thought this and I have to say it. And I think exactly. I do allow myself to kind of feel like, wait, if I just thought this and felt this, I bet there
other
are
people.
Others.
Yeah.
Like, sure. After Joe Biden gave his very important speech to Congress recently after his 100 days. And I was like, yeah, totally. This is, like, not Trump. Okay, this is not horror. Mm-hmm. But please don't call me ungrateful when I want more. And I said that the next morning, and people completely responded to that. So I often feel bad that I don't respond enough. That, you know, if all I'm doing is just liking things, but then I love it when people are like, oh my God, Maria Hinojosa liked my tweet. And I'm like, I'm like, of course, if I see it, I'll like it. Sure.
Well, it's important to have a healthy relationship with Twitter because a lot of people don't.
I mean, I don't know. Like this morning, again, I was like, I don't know how Alexandria even continues to post on this. Porque es que es un nivel de odio.
Yeah.
And I don't really, for me, to be honest with you, I don't get it. I mean, now is when I'm like, oh, God, what horrible people these bots are.
Oof.
Mostly, I'm having fun on Twitter. I'm having an okay time. And people are like, oh, my God, she's saying something really silly or something really important. Or, you know, I really love Instagram, even though it's owned by Facebook, which is my horror. But I really love Instagram.
Would you say Facebook is in your doghouse?
I mean, I just, I don't know if I can say that. It's more just like, I never connected with Facebook.
Oh, wow.
I sí que nunca entendí. Nunca como que. I'm like, what is this? I still find it overwhelming when I go into Facebook. Honestly, I just feel overwhelmed by it. It's terrible. People send me messages. I mean, I probably have like several thousand messages, probably some of them very important. And I just, the whole Facebook feeling is just, I'm going to get buried by this. Whereas Instagram, I can just kind of quickly just do a, and I get really, I get a lot of positive reinforcement. I'm a lot of, to me, Instagram is where the positive stuff comes, the visual stuff, the pro-Indigenous stuff, the pro-Latina stuff, the pro-healthy sex stuff, all of that stuff, the pro-cannabis world, you know, that's where I'm like, yeah, I like living here.
Hell yeah. And like you said, like, what are things that now, like, you know, other than all you know, everything that you're saying, like going on the Twitter and, you know, doing interviews about such, like I said, aggressive subjects, you know, like the world is just so wild. What does Maria like to do to have fun pre-pandemic or during the pandemic?
During
it doesn't matter.
Post.
Like, you know, what are things that you like to do to, like, you know, relax and have fun? You know, you mentioned pro cannabis and like smoking a blunt. And like, I love that you're 420 friendly as well, because I am.
Oh, very publicly, very publicly, because I don't want to have any shame. I mean, I don't want to have any secrets. And I was always worried, like, oh my God, one day somebody's going to find out I smoke pot. And I'm like, haha, motherfuckers. I'm telling you I smoke pot.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you I smoke pot because I am a legal medical marijuana patient. Mm-hmm. I really did not smoke a lot of pot until after 9/11. So I had PTSD, and it really, I never thought that it would be something that could really help you. And so I'm very like, and now I have a dispensary and I have my pharmacists who I talk to. So I love them. They're amazing.
Yeah.
If you follow me on Instagram, you'll know that I am a little bit crazy about working out. I'm a boxer. I have a crew of people that I work out with here in Harlem that's multi-generational and from all over the world. And I love that. I love dancing with them at 7 o'clock in the morning in the park. So that's a pretty crazy thing. I connect with nature. So, you know, anything that puts me in touch with nature, my family is like becoming birders. I think the next big purchase once we, because now that we're done paying for college, we're actually buying things like, oh, geez, we needed a new refrigerator.
Yes. Boy. I got a new fridge too this year. Well, kind of like, to be fair, it was like a friend gave me hers, but let me tell you.
But still, I'm telling you, right?
Major upgrade. I sent pictures to the boys so they can see it.
Next big purchase will be binoculars. You know, like that's like, so, you know, nature really just, I'm very lucky. If you read Once I Was You, you'll see that we have a little tiny cottage in Connecticut. We live in Harlem, in the heart of Harlem. And we have a little tiny cottage in Connecticut. And so, like looking out at the lake, building a fire, just chilling, walking, hiking,
decompressing.
Totally decompressing. These are the things. Like, if you ask me, like, are you a big cook? No, that's not. Like, I'll cook. We grill. My son and I grill a lot. We love to do that. But I'm like, seriously, like the simple things. Having time with my husband alone is something that
quality time.
We really. You know, because now we all, the four of us, live together. So it's a little crowded sometimes.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying. I mean, I love my adult children.
Say less. I got it. We get it, Maria.
Okay, got you.
Mira, loud and clear.
Fine. Okay. Okay. We're not coming for a sleepover the next weekend.
Yeah. So simple stuff. Really just like hanging out with friends. You know, now that I'm fully vaccinated, I had a group of my Latina journalist friends. We had a park party. You know, that's like, seriously, I'm good. Going to a museum. Wow. What a concept. So yeah, low key little things. Oh, going to the, like, definitely June 11th. I'm in a movie theater watching In the Heights for sure.
Yes.
Cause you all know I'm in it, right?
Wait, you're in it?
Is this a spoiler? We're supposed to know.
Are we getting the exclusive?
It's public because people have seen, you know, early versions of the film. People, now it's dropped. It's out there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm in it. I have a role. Oh, and it's not a cameo.
Wait a
minute.
Whoa. So here's the thing about In the Heights. There are a bunch of little clues that if you know, you're going to get them. For example, Lin-Manuel is there, but he's as a piragüero when he actually played the central role before. Mm-hmm. Is that Lin-Manuel's father makes an appearance and Luis. Mother. Yes, Luis Miranda and his mother. The guy who starred originally in the original In the Heights on Broadway, Chris, he makes an appearance. What's her name who won Drag Race? RuPaul. She makes an appearance. I make an appearance. So there's all these little things that if you know, you're like, oh.
It's like fun little Easter eggs. Yeah.
Yes. Oh. Like little, there are a bunch of little Easter eggs and I'm one of the eggs.
So we look forward to seeing you dancing and dance.
Oh no, my God.
I'm not dancing.
I love that she just shut you down.
That's not what I'm doing. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but it is the opposite of dancing.
We know what you're not doing.
Ooh, okay. Okay. All right. We're not coming over to Maria's house and we are not dancing. All right. Oh, well, my God.
We got to find out now. We got to ask my friend, so anybody who's watched it already.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I was actually, if I wasn't in Miami today, I was going to go over someone to watch the, because they got the premiere thingy. And I was like, no, I want to go, but I can't. I have to come here.
But you got to see, it's better to wait for the theater. I'm totally seeing it. Yeah. There's no way I'm watching it at home.
I'm bringing my own popcorn to the movie theater.
Oh.
That will be me who smuggles it in.
She's in the movie. She could do that.
That's right. And I am going to be dancing in the aisles.
Oh, yes. Wendy Miles, okay.
It's the kind of movie.
Okay, I see.
No. De verdad. Es que it's the kind of movie that we Latinos, you know how people took over and did, you don't know because you all are young, but back in the day, Rocky Horror Picture Show, where like you became the movie and you were
interactive.
That's the way In the Heights has got to become, where everybody is like doing it and dancing, and that's how I imagine.
Oh my gosh,
in the
we're gonna have our own version of Rocky Horror Picture.
You all have to make it happen. I just told you, now you got to make it happen.
Wow. I've been sold, but I'm more sold.
Oh my gosh. Bueno, Maria, we want to again thank you so much. It was such an honor to have you on the podcast
and on our 100th episode.
Yes, our 100th episode. Oh my gosh. And you know, hopefully when the world opens up and we have our live shows, we'd love to also have you as a guest. Oh my God, you would crush.
Please. Yes, we would have a good time.
Yes,
and
yes,
I would
yes.
actually, I would have shoes on.
Okay. Mira, you don't have to. You don't have to.
You surely don't have to.
Oh, no. I'm a Latina. Please now. You know that I'm wearing my 5-inch heels. Please.
No pata sucia.
Por favor. Mis tacones.
Coño. Bueno, por favor, if you want to tell everybody where they can follow you on the social anything, and where they can purchase your book.
So the book you can get anywhere. I mean, I always love to support your local independent bookstore, and there are many of them everywhere. The book is called Once I Was You, A Memoir of Love and Hate in a Tour in America. I'm still hoping to make it to the bestseller list, so please buy more than one copy.
Support our Latinas.
Please. On Instagram, it's kind of, I don't have all the same, so I'm sorry about that. Okay. On Instagram, it's Maria_La_Hinojosa. Sorry.
Okay.
Copy.
No, that's
so if you just put in Maria_, usually it will appear. And I'm verified. And on Twitter, it's Maria_Hinojosa. And copy. I'll see you there. And if you get the book, take a picture, send it to me. We're, you know, slowly posting on my Instagram feed with all of your pictures with the books.
Oh, yay.
So yeah, I need to send the book to each one of you so you can.
Yeah.
So as soon as I get another
box, what a dream.
I'm waiting for my another box of books so you guys can send me your addresses and I'll send you.
Oh, thank you. Would definitely love that.
Maria, thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honestly, like. For someone who's like such a big fan of yours, it's so incredible because you have this enormous pedigree. But what you really do is you stimulate conversation between Latinos. You know what I mean? And I've always said existing is a political act for us Latine people. And you are an example of that. So thank you for just being your own person.
Yes, you're exactly right. For us, just existing in this country and finding our joy. That's why, again, the celebration of Black joy. It's like, yeah, the celebration of Latino and Latina joy, Latine joy. And come on, motherfuckers, we have amazing joy. So that's why we got to live in it. And, you know, whether it's dancing or looking at birds, We got to bring it.
Esto, yes, yes.
Muchas gracias to all of you. Thank you.
Sí, no, gracias a ti. Y también, everybody listening, you can also follow us at Spanish Aquí Presents on IG. You can follow us at Spanish Aquí on Twitter. And you can follow me at Raisa Licea on Instagram and on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Instagram at, of course, it's Carlos. And you can follow me at Ozzymo, O-Z-Z-Y-M-O, on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow Tony Rodriguez at theoppositeofdancing.org. Oh. Just kidding. It's the Tony Rodrig at Instagram and Twitter. And you can check out Spanish Aquí Presents on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, the SiriusXM app, or wherever you listen. And please, please, if you have the time, give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps more people find out about the show.
Yes. Hey, so much, we did
Maria.
It.
Yeah. Maria, I don't care you. What they thank said in the 80s. Your Spanish is fantastic. Thank you for covering me.
Eso. Ahora lo vamos a hacer en español todo. Dale.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.